I know it's been a rough 2 years.
Believe me, I felt your pain. And it was just a matter of waiting. We had to find the right person. So I am giving you your Christmas present.
All right, yes!
Your Christmas present is a new coach! It's Mike Tebow! Merry Christmas!
Hi, all guys.
Happy New Year with that.
Definitely, thank you all for coming.
I have never been a Christmas present, ever.
Anybody have a Santa Claus here? No, but we're so excited to have Coach Mike Tebow here, but I want to give you a little background on our new head coach and general manager for the Washington Mystics. He has a background with USA Basketball. He was an assistant coach for the national team that went to Beijing in 2008. It was an amazing run for that team. And also, he was a scout in the NBA for several teams, the Lakers and the Bulls, back when they won several championships during the 90s and the late 80s. He was also an NBA assistant coach with the Milwaukee Bucks and a scout for Atlanta and New York. So a wealth of knowledge on both sides of professional leagues in the United States. So fantastic background there. In the WNBA, Coach Mike Tebow is the winningest active coach in the league, winning 206 games at a 61% success clip. So give him a hand for that. That's an amazing run. During his tenure at Connecticut, he went to 8 playoffs and 2 finals, made 2 finals appearances, so very solid performance at Connecticut. When they came here, it was always a tough test for Washington, so we're just glad to have him here and in our family. And speaking of family, Coach's wife, Nancy, is here. I'd like to introduce her. And coaching basketball and the game of basketball is in the Tebow blood, as Coach's son Eric is an assistant coach at VCU, so that's amazing, following dad. And his daughter is currently a player at Monmouth University, a very good one. I saw her in action last year, so basketball definitely runs through the system there with the Tebow family. But we want to welcome you here to D.C., and as Dr. Johnson said, you are a Christmas present, a New Year's present. What's up for that Valentine's Day? But every holiday, we are just thrilled to introduce you and welcome you into the Washington Mystics family here in the nation's capital. And we know that you are going to do good things. So I want the Washington Mystics fans to say welcome to D.C. on 3 to our new head coach and GM. 1, 2, 3.
Welcome to D.C.!
That's so awesome.
Thank you.
That's so awesome. And we'll just let you have a couple of opening remarks and let people get to know you a little bit better here.
Wow, Christmas present. Well, first of all, this has been a whirlwind couple of weeks. I actually thought that I would still be in Connecticut a couple weeks ago, and to be honest with you, it was a very interesting discussion. My sin was not winning a championship this year, but I will tell you, my wife asked me when I came home from the meeting. She said, "Well, you all right?" I said, "I was all right 5 minutes after I got out of there." And I truly mean that. I bought a sign that I put on my desk that we found in a little shop about a couple days afterwards, and it said, "Don't look back, you're not going there." We're going somewhere else here, it's going to be a lot of fun. I'm excited about it. My discussions with Dr. Johnson and Ted Leonsis were terrific. You all heard the quote yesterday, "I have carte blanche."
Yeah!
That's also going up on the wall. But in all truth, we're going to make this the best organization in the league. And as a tribute to the organization, but, you know, sometimes as fans you don't see, I know that it's been a very tough couple years. But in talking to several of the players over the last 10 days that I had a chance to speak to, basically, they have owned up that they have been treated well by the ownership, by the organization, and by the fans. And it's on them to fulfill the last part right now. And they are, I think, on the way to understanding that you hold yourselves accountable for how you play and how you do things. And that's the first step in being a great team. And this team wants to be good. They're as sick of what happened, sick about what happened as anybody. Nobody hurts worse than coaches and players. But they are willing to be accountable and go forward, and they are excited about it. We will add some pieces to it as we go. You know, for me right now, the first step we'll talk about, you know, I know Chrissy's got questions about what the direction is, but you know, I'm kind of trying to take a deep breath right now and settle into you know, what we need to do. You know, coming in as an opposing coach, this has been, up until you know recently, one of the most passionate places in the league to play. And when it's loud in there, it's intimidating to an opponent. Not Connecticut, when I coach there, we didn't worry about it too much, but no, I'm just kidding. My career percentage was pretty good. But the truth of the matter is, this has always been a great place. You have great basketball fans in the surrounding area. The city has a passion about the game. It's obviously a great facility, and we need to get it rocking again. Bring all those friends of yours that left before, bring them back. They'll be welcomed back with open arms, and then all of us in this room and our players and coaches will go out and win new fans for ourselves this summer. Thank you very much for having me. I'm excited to be here.
Fantastic. And I know you said that it's been a whirlwind for you after being named yesterday, but what is the initial plan for you moving forward in terms of transitioning here to D.C.?
Find a house. anybody wants to buy a house in Connecticut, I got one for sale. It's better than the prices in D.C., so I'm finding out quite quickly. The immediate plan is, you know, I'm actually going to head back to Connecticut for the holidays. My family's coming back, and I've been, you know, going through for the last 3 weeks the roster, and obviously, you know, you watch tape throughout when you get ready to play a team, and I'm, you know, studying our players a little bit more, forming more concrete opinions about, you know, what are the strengths and weaknesses of this team. I think there are strengths that didn't come out, and I need to figure out ways to do that. Because free agency is kind of on the horizon, that's probably the first thing basketball-wise that I'm going to deal with. I have some ideas. You're not going to go out in free agency and get the best players in the league. They're not out there. But you're going to have some players who are free agents that can add to a team, whether it be a leadership role, or a better perimeter shooter, or a better rebounder, bring them in for specific reasons. You know, I think if you do that and you make the players that we have better, you've already started in the right direction. I think that the players that we have a little bit more faith today than they did 2 weeks ago. And it's not just because of me, but I think it's because they see that the organization is trying to reach out to be great. And you have to dare to be great, and you have to do things to try to be great. And I think the players sense that. Those are probably the most immediate things. We can talk as we go about the other things down the road.
And with that being said, the style of play and your coaching philosophy, with what the Mystics have on the roster now, how are you going to make the pieces fit together?
Well, I think the first thing is I like to play at a much faster tempo. We've always been among the top three scoring teams in the league, and it's more fun, I think, as a fan to watch a team that does that. But it's not going to be at the expense of defense. But I think they played a lot of half-court basketball the last 2 years. And that's, you know, sometimes you do what you have to do for the kind of team that you have. But What was that? I just believe that as a player, when I was young, I liked to play up and down. I liked to play a fast break game. I think it's more fun for players. I think it keeps teams from locking in on you defensively. You get easier shots. But players, you know, almost every young player I've ever met say, "Oh yeah, coach, I like to run." And I know about 75% of them are lying. And not because they don't really want to. They don't understand that it's hard to do it because a running team has to do it every possession. You can't pick and choose. And you don't become good at it if you try to do it that way. And so that's going to be the first thing that we're going to try to instill in our style of game. The other thing is that this team has some offensive deficiencies. I said that yesterday at the press conference. The stats don't lie. When you're 10th in the league in field goal percentage and next to last or last in free throw percentage, and you're at the bottom in 3-point percentage,
Mike knows,
and you turn the ball over.
Okay, all right.
Those are deficiencies, and they need to be addressed. And some of them can be corrected on focus issues and practice issues and those kind of things. Some of them are personnel issues. But there is no excuse for this team not to get better defensively right away. This team has some athletes. This team has some strength. They have some size. And I've talked to 3 key players on this team about that. And I asked one of them, "Why aren't you on the All-League defensive team?" And there was a silence on the other end of the phone. I said, "There's no reason you can't be. Because it's a mindset and it's an attitude. And if you're athletic enough, at least that should be your goal. You know, you don't give lip service to being a good defensive team." So this team can improve at that end of the floor right away. And if it does, and you become a good defensive team, then that running game has more of a chance. You're not taking the ball out of the net every time. You're not giving up second shots where teams are tipping the ball in, getting offensive rebounds, and that leads to frustration. So that was, in a nutshell, my offensive and defensive, you know, thought about this team. But those are the things we have to attack first.
Okay, I love it. I'm getting chills wearing my sneakers. I'm ready to play. Your success, I'm going to ask you both short and long term for this team would be what? Short term first.
Short term is kind of a little bit what I just said. When you walk in the game every night as a fan, that you know when you walk out 2 hours later, you got a great effort every night from this team. That you don't walk out of there thinking, you know what, they could have played a little harder. They could have done, you know, it's an effort thing to start out with, and it's an all-out effort, and it starts the first day of training camp, and it has to permeate the team. It gets the crowd excited. That's the first short-term goal. And I said it yesterday at the press conference, and it's not that compliment where somebody comes up to you and says, "Geez, coach, we really like your team because they play hard." I'm thinking, that's every night. That's an expectation, right? But unfortunately, throughout all pro sports, there are teams that are better at it than others. And the talent level throughout the league is relatively close. You're a little bit on the lower end right now, but you can separate yourself with effort. And that's the short-term goal, so that as a fan, you said, you know what, I got my money's worth from this team as far as how hard they play. The next short-term goal is to shore up some things. With free agency, the draft, those kind of things, so that walking into training camp, the team can look around at each other and say, "We got better. We got better because there's a better three-point shooter over here. There's another point guard that knows how to penetrate and get the ball to people and understands that you're supposed to get the ball to people. There's somebody I can look at my teammate and know that if I help over here on defense, they have my back. And that if I go to defend, somebody's going to block out so we don't give up that second shot." So the next short-term goal is to walk in the gym on the first day and everybody look around at each other and say, "We're better and we're going to trust each other." But I think those are the most realistic short-term goals. Because if you get that, then you can add all the other stuff that becomes long-term goals, like playoffs and championships. But you don't say, "Well, we're a playoff team," and not do the work on the first day of training camp to be a playoff team.
Thank you.
So the long-term goals.
Win a championship. Only one long-term goal. Only one long-term goal. All right? Win a championship. All the other ones are steps in between. Okay? And, you know, The only part of my Connecticut experience that I regret is we didn't win a championship. We gave it a hell of an effort. And, you know, sometimes you do all the things right and it just doesn't work out. And, you know, we lost in the finals twice. First game we won finals, Lindsey Whalen goes down and doesn't play. You can't control that. That stuff you can't control. You can control the other stuff about effort and heart and all those things and trusting each other. And if you do those and you do it often enough and long enough, eventually you'll get rewarded.
I love that. And one last question for me, and you're going to get to ask some questions after this one. But your experience in the NBA, USA Basketball, your championship with the CBA back in 1988 with Omaha, those experiences have propelled you to this moment. How have those moments prepared you for this moment today?
More than anything, I think you learn as you get older is perspective. To realize when you're a young coach, you think you're smarter than you are. It's kind of like, you know, raising your kids. I mean, until they start saying the same things that you did to them, it doesn't sink in. I think when you get to this point, you have perspective about your career, that there are going to be peaks and valleys. And the coaches that survive and the players that survive learn to be a little bit more even-keeled about things. Be realistic. From a very practical standpoint, because I know this was brought up on a couple different people beforehand, and I'm probably going to preemptively answer a question that will come. In the WNBA, more than the NBA, but it happens in all sports, you fall in love with players as people. It's a business. And you can love a player, but as the GM and coach, it's a business. When I put it into perspective, there's unemployed and employed. And their job is to help keep me be employed, and my job is to help them have a career that keeps them employed. So you can love a player. I've cut over 10 years, 80 players I liked, you know, from training camps and everything else. We all have favorite players. They're the nicest people in the world. The WNBA is full of terrific people. But it's a business, and my decision is going to be to pick the players that give us an opportunity to reach both the short-term and long-term goals. And so, you know, you're going to go home saying, like, God, I wish he would play her more. Or, you know, I wish they had kept so-and-so. You see them in different lights than I see them. I see them every day on the practice court and in games. I told this to a high school group of parents one night. Your kid is on the team. That means the coach already likes him. Don't say they didn't play because somebody didn't like him. Or, you know, I want to win. And I've never met a coach who sat somebody over in the bench if they could help them win. And so there's a realism involved in all that, that my job is to figure that out. And if I worry about what the media says or what you say, an old coach told me once that I'm a lot closer to sitting with you every time I do that. Another old coach told me that there are only two kinds of coaches, employed and unemployed. Ones who have been fired and ones who will be fired. I've been on both ends. You know, I attach no stigma to having lost my job in Connecticut. I've been on NBA teams where the head coach got fired I was an assistant after we made the playoffs. And those things happen. It's part of the business. But just understand from a standpoint of evaluating what we do, don't prejudge something that we do in the next 6 to 8 months because you love a player or you thought it. Just give us the opportunity to play it out a little bit for you and put the trust in us that we have to put in our players.
So there are no questions. Happy holidays. She's asking questions. No, that was fantastic. Any questions right here?
Coach, as I said when I met you a little bit ago, I'm delighted that you were here, and I'll be happy to help you with finding a house if you need to. I'm sure the Mystics will be able to help you with that very well.
We're finding houses. We just haven't found ones that we can afford, or we haven't sold our other ones. So we'll get there sooner than later.
I'm a founding fan of the Masons, and I'm only 32. So I've seen a lot of coaches come and go, and I must say, although I know you have the credibility because of your background and your experience, you sound an awful lot like the last three coaches we had here, talking about defense, talking about that's where it starts, and the team, and some things you're saying a little differently, but you sound very similar. Is it because of your experience that we should, I mean, I'm here, and I'm going. It doesn't matter. I'm slapping hands as you come in the door. So it doesn't really, in a way, matter to me, but it does. I would really like the team to be better. Meaning in a very friendly manner, why should we believe you? That it's going to be different because of the defense, because that's what they've all
it's
said.
Not going to just be because of the defense. I said that's a starting point, but I think all coaches, who are pretty good coaches, recognize weaknesses in teams. You recognize weaknesses as a fan. You know whether a team hustles or whether they don't block out. You know that. The question is whether the coach who recognizes it can fix it.
Yes.
And I will tell you, you have to go on my track record. That's all I can offer to you is that when I went to Connecticut, the team that we bought from Orlando had never won a playoff series. Never won a playoff series, had Katie Douglas, had Nikisha Sales, had Taj McWilliams, had Shannon Johnson. First year in, we won the first round of the playoffs. That's all I have to offer you. I mean, it's in the sense that it's going to be, I'm gonna prove my worth to you by how it happens on the court. You have a track record or you don't. And I've been very fortunate. I was an assistant at the age of 29 in the NBA, and I was spoiled to death because I was with the Lakers, and I thought, this is how every team is. We have Magic and Kareem. I thought, this is great. This stuff's easy. And then we had a year where we had Magic get hurt and some issues with egos, and all of a sudden, we got beat in the first round of the playoffs the next year. And we had to go back and have a kind of an ego check as a team. Reevaluation, and we came back and won the championship the next year. I've learned from really good coaches. I grew up with John Wooden as my mentor, and I was very lucky as a young coach to spend time with coaches like that. So, at age 62, I'm a sum total of the people I've been around and learned from, and we'll see. If I don't do what I say I can do, you'll be talking to somebody else in a couple of years or nobody. But everybody has something they do well in life. Some people are great musicians, some people are great teachers, some people are great whatever. This is what I know. This is what I'm good at. And I have a lot of faith that what I said I can do, I will.
And believe. I have them right here. I'm going to come back to you.
Same thing when those players go. They got to trust too when they start too.
That's right.
The question I have is if you want to push the ball, and in the WNBA, most women don't make their own shots. So what are we going to do in that position is so we can push this ball?
You got to find another point guard to go with. That's on the list. And the other part that goes with that that's very interesting, how many here watch a lot of NBA games? The NBA rules with the defensive 3 seconds and the longer three-point line change the game. And we're going to have to adapt to that. Those are our rules going forward. And I think it's good for our league. It'll open up the lane for post players to not be double-teamed early. It'll open up the lane for point guards to penetrate. And you have to put a premium on three-point shooters. And that's on the top of my list to go and do some things. Now, the college game doesn't have a lot of those coming up, so, I mean, there are some younger point guards coming, but, you know, I'm looking at that. We have some people who, by position, are point guards, but they have to improve their game in order to play that position. And then one of them's already been told that, so.
Mike,
yep.
Who are you?
Who are you thinking about bringing in as your assistant coaches?
We got about 10 minutes before I figured that one was coming. I really am not going to share that at the moment for a couple reasons. Number one, I'm talking to several people, but some have other jobs, so I'm not going to say names because I can't do that. Number two, probably under normal circumstances, I would have brought my assistants with me from Connecticut. Both of them are in different points in their life. Scott Hawk was our post coach, is kind of ready to get out of coaching at least for a while. He hates travel. Just is looking at different. And Bernadette Maddox, who is our other assistant, wants a year off from coaching. Her son is a high school senior. She's never had, in the last 10 years, the ability to be around the last part of the school year and proms and this year graduation and school visits and getting them off to college. So I'm probably going to go in a different direction. It's not the first priority on my list right now. Who I hire will be because they are great teachers and can improve our skill level of our players, and have to be great preparation people for opponents. They have to be able to do both. The players here, in all honesty, were very upbeat about the current assistants. So I am going to consider them on my list. People like them. I don't know that I'll keep both, but at least it's part of the plan to at least think that through. But I have about 12 people right now that I've got on my list to consider. It's probably not going to happen for a little while. The free agency and getting ready for the draft is the most important thing. And I don't know that I'll have anybody on board maybe even until March. If sooner, great. But it's not, this time, this 2 months right now, it's not that important.
Touched on my question. If the WNBA draft was today, who would be your fourth pick?
I cannot say. And I'm not trying to be evasive because I have people I like. I'm not telling my competitors who I like. That's just part of the business. I'm not into the rumor mills. I'm not into all the guessing about. You guys can guess all you want. What I told Sheila when we interviewed, I said it yesterday, the fourth pick was not a sentence. It's not a sentence. We can get a good player. It is also an asset or a chip. You can use it if you want to trade. There are people out there who might want it. I'm not gonna tie myself down to one thing right now. We have 4 months between now and the draft, and a lot of things can happen. You find out about the health of certain college players. You can move up or down in the draft. You can use the pick to go get some veteran players if that's the best way to do it. I'm trying to use the pick as a chip to do what's best for this team. If it's a great, good young player, so be it. But there are more than three good players in this draft.
That's exactly right. Here's another question.
And I did tell somebody this. The third pick is not necessarily better than the fourth pick this year.
Hi, Mike. I'm thrilled you're here. My question is this. Actually, when I heard that you've been selected, I was jumping up and down and calling people on the phone that I know is season ticket holders saying, you got to come back. Got to come back. What do you see, or what do you think, or what is your plan within the first year to change the image and credibility of the Mystics? I know you can say, well, win at the end, but during, to build up to that time, what do you see as bringing more credibility and a better image to the Mystics?
I think it happens in stages, but these are the first couple. I think what I said at the start about when you walk into the arena as a fan, did I have a great experience with the basketball and the non-basketball? Did I see a team that gets me excited about how hard they play? Are they unselfish? Do they pass the basketball? And is there a style of play that I will enjoy watching? That sounds like, you know, the normal coach speak, but it's I don't have another way of simplifying that. I think the second part of that comes is that when you start doing that, other people, players in the league, start to look around and say, wow, you know, they're now an opponent to be feared again. And that when we come in to play Washington, we got to get jacked up to play. Part of it is us as coaches and players continuing to do what the organization has tried to do to get out in the community and show who we are as people and players. That doesn't win you games necessarily, but it resends the message about who you are. But you need to, as a fan, have a great experience and just get excited about how the team plays. It helps if you win a couple close games in the early in the year. It gets everybody's confidence up. There is no like wand I can wave over this to say this is the way it's going to happen. It's all going to happen to me. It's going to take a little bit of time. You are going to be some of our ambassadors to get some of those people back when you spread the word about, hey, we're going to see a great game. Hopefully, when we have a TV game, Christy can turn around and say to the fans, that becomes an infomercial about your team because of how hard and how well you've played. And I think the biggest killer for me is when you have one of those games that's a TV game and you don't play your best. I think those are the hard ones. If I could do anything, let's win all the TV games so all the fans, you know, get excited about it. But I truly believe that that helps, too. I'm not really answering all of it. I don't have a better answer, either.
That's pretty good to start out with.
Coach.
This is Mr. Coach. I want to ask, what's going to be your tempo as far as enhancing our tempo? Because it's kind of it's extremely slow now. What are you going to do to enhance the pace as well as making sure we probably, I would say, had a game if we down, probably about down maybe about 1 point, 1 or 2 points every game almost. And how are you going to enhance this record overall?
Well, it starts with the first day of practice in that you teach that part of the game from the very first moment of the first day of training camp, that it becomes running game, and that kind of game becomes a habit. And, you know, I kind of alluded to it earlier that, you know, a lot of players think that they have to run on the fast break when they think they're going to get the ball. And the way you become a good running team is you run every time whether you do get the ball or not. Because if you're willing to run, you're going to get somebody else open. Your post player has to run the middle of the floor every time. You have to have a quick outlet. But that's a repetition thing in practice. You don't just say, we're going to do it, and it happens. It doesn't happen that way. You have to practice it just like anything else. You want to be a good three-point shooter, you better get in the gym practice. You want to be a running team, you better practice it every day. The one-point game stuff, I'm not sure what you were asking, but you got to have plays as a coach that address those issues, and they can't be a surprise to your team on game night. Right? That stuff you got to practice in training camp, too.
Yeah.
Are you talking about the end of games, like late game situations?
Let's hope we're in a whole bunch of end of games where that's important.
Late games, end of games, but also sometimes being able to know your opponents. When you come out on the floor, you can go up 45, 50 points and not even lose.
45, you give me one game, we go up 45 points, I'll be a happy guy. Let's go up 5 every night. But yeah, I mean, that's a mindset, you know. Running is a mindset, and it's not something you give lip service to. You have to do it over and over and over.
You need to coach.
How are you?
Glad to have you.
Thank you.
You seem to know our team really well.
A lot of stuff. Well, we played you 5 times this year.
Yeah. 10th place, 12th place, last place. But we as Mystic fans have seen our players leave and become phenomenal with other teams. So my question to you, are you opposed to bringing any of those phenomenal players back?
Wow. I'm not opposed to bringing any good player back that helps us win games.
Okay.
Players leave for different reasons sometimes. Sometimes unknown to the general public. So I can't comment on that about Mystic players because I haven't coached them. I'm not opposed to bringing anybody back that helps you win. Sometimes you have players though who leave who have also burned bridges with some people too. And they haven't burned them with me, but they have burned bridges. And so as individuals' names come up, there will be an investigation about where they kind of are with their previous teammates. You know, it's nice to think that there's a great player who'd like to come back, but if the five players who are still here are still good don't like that one, it's not going to work anyway. So I don't have a simple answer to that. And the other part of it is that players do leave sometimes. I mean, I've gotten grief because Katie Douglas and Taj McWilliams left Connecticut and won championships somewhere else. People don't know why they left. Taj was a very unique situation. At the time, she was on her first retirement a year out, and then she unretired five straight years. We were lucky enough to trade her for very good players who also helped us. Katie Douglas wanted something. I can never tell what happened. I wasn't a part of it. It had something to do with something else. I would have never let Katie Douglas go from Connecticut. And she and I have a great relationship to this day. But there was something that I had no control over that occurred. Lindsey Whalen won a championship in Minnesota, but we got Tina Charles. And that was a fair deal. So, you know, that different things happen. If you get equal value back and you like what you got back, then, you know, the best trades are the ones that both sides are happy about at the end of the day. Both Minnesota and Connecticut are happy about the trade. So the problem is when you make a trade and you look back in a year and go, we don't have anything left for that. You've had a couple of those. You've had a couple of those. I won't mention any names at the end of the season.
We have one more question right here.
All right.
Hi, yes, I'm Kathleen. I'm also a founding fan and thrilled to have you here. I just want to get the light.
I can see.
Two things I want to say. First, I want to say that I appreciate Sheila and Greg the last couple of years really building up community sponsors and every game honoring people contributing to the community. As a women's sports fan and WNBA, I think that's something very unique and special, and I love that they've done that, and we'll look forward to that continuing. Now, the other thing I wanted to ask you about that's a little related, which is media coverage of women athletes, which we all know is a really big problem, and the Mystics the last couple of years have made it really easy to, you know, have really horrible coverage. So I know this is something I'm sure you've dealt with, and I wonder, obviously the team has to play better and perform, that's true, but it still can be a challenge to get really good coverage in the sports pages and et cetera. So I didn't know if you had any thoughts or perspective or experience on that issue. Thanks.
I'm spoiled for first of all, because in the state of Connecticut, you have, well, they think it's a birthright, but they, you know, you have a state with women's basketball that is very special. I mean, there's no way around it. When you have a college team that's won that many national titles, you get coverage, and it carried over and helped us get started. I think, and Ketsy and I haven't had a chance to sit down and talk about this very much, and she does an unbelievable job under the circumstances sometimes of having to fight the media situation in a very large city with a lot of sports teams. One of the problems that you have here, much like New York and Chicago and L.A., is that you have teams everywhere, pro teams, college teams, and so you unfortunately only get paid attention to when you're winning. So obviously winning is going to have to be part of it. The other things that we did in Connecticut are partly on the coach, partly on the players, to be media friendly and to cultivate those relationships. One of the things that we did in Connecticut in the off season, when you're kind of out of the spotlight a little bit, is we tried to have a media luncheon about every 6 weeks or so in the off season, where myself and a player was in town, or we would bring in a guest speaker, college coach, whatever, to have a media luncheon where we brought them in. And I know teams do that. I don't even know if Washington does or doesn't. I'm just bringing this up off the cuff. But it was something we did to try to maintain off-season coverage. I have some other ideas about that. I probably need to share them with them before I share them with you. It would be good for me and Dr. Johnson and Kutzia to sit down for some of my suggestions. But, you know, I may be giving suggestions that have already been tried, too. But it's very tough, you know, in a city this large. You know, the other thing that's happening is that as the media has changed coverage of all things, if you look at your newspaper, pages are shrinking, less in space for coverage. As newspapers cut their staff, less people to cover live events. They're taking reports. And that's happening throughout the country. Even in Connecticut, that's becoming an issue with our coverage. You know, if guys were trying to do triple duty, and that's become an issue. The video media, the news channels, and those have changed dramatically. If you notice, sports coverage is starting to shrink a little bit on TV as everybody wants 7 minutes of the weather. Now, I grew up in California. You looked out the window and said, same as yesterday. Here, we got to know if rain's coming at 1 or 1:30 tomorrow. But that's changed. But in all seriousness, that has changed TV coverage, because when I grew up, you had a minute or 2 minutes of weather, and you had 7 minutes of sports. It's kind of started to go the other way. You get 5 or 6 minutes of weather on TV and 3 or 4 minutes of sports, and they're going to do an interview with Lyndon Fletcher, or they're going to do an interview with Steven Strasburg, and if you get on, you get on. But that's what we're fighting, and so it's going to be a constant battle to try to do that. But winning will help.
Hey, one last question. I didn't see a hand up. Let's come here.
Hi. In a free agency, which player is the best, and how would you choose them?
Again, I can't tell you. and there are some. The reason I can't tell you, and it just is the part of the job, we try to share as much information, but part of the problem is there are other teams trying to sign these same players.
Right.
And I don't want to be in a bidding war with 4 competitors. Or right now, you are in a situation where there are teams who may not think. We have in the WNBA what's called a core player. And it's the same as the NFL as a franchise player. And each team can core one free agent and keep them from going to another team. Now, if I were a players union person, I would probably lobby the other way. But from a franchise standpoint, it allows you to keep one of your players. Well, those teams have to make that decision between January 1st and January 15th, which player to core. I'm not telling somebody right now that I would like their player and then have them go core that player. So I'm a lot more secretive guy when it comes to that stuff, because if you lose a draft pick because you decided it was convenient to tell somebody about it, and you lose your competitive edge. Or what happens, and it happens in the NFL. Everybody remember how the Washington Redskins got RG3.
Yeah, they gave away.
But was there not another team right in the same position who was trying to move up and give away draft picks? Yes. And that other team, one of them being Cleveland, and I forget who the other one was, let everybody be known that they wanted RG3. So what happened? The Redskins upped their offer because they knew that what the other team had already offered to get the pick, and the Redskins got it. If you're the general manager of that other team that lost out on RG3 because you blabbed that you wanted him and what you were willing to give up to get him, that's my point. Whoever said that, that's the point. And so that's why I'm not giving out information.
If we were playing a team like Minnesota or Los Angeles or New York, what would be your game plan throughout 4 quarters?
Well, if we play New York, we're going to try to make Cappy Pondexter miserable. Right? That's where you start with New York. If we're playing LA, they got a few more good players, but we'll start with Candace Parker and Aguma King. Now, Elena got going a little bit at the end of the year, but you start with Parker and Aguma King. Chicago, as you say, Minnesota, probably start with Maya Moore and Lindsey Whalen. Augustus is really good, but she's probably going to get 20 no matter what you do. You might be guarding her great, she still might get 20. We beat Minnesota last year, and basically we made Maya Moore miserable and Lindsey Whalen miserable. And when you put together a scouting report to play against the team, it's kind of like going to Vegas and playing the odds. Every player that's in the league is really good, or they wouldn't be in the league. But as a general rule, they all have tendencies. And if they do something well 7 out of 10 times, and they do the other thing well 4 out of 10 times, you make them do the thing that they do well 4 out of 10 times as opposed to the 7 out of 10. And if they make it anyway when you make them do the 4 out of 10, you say, you know what, you made a great play, go ahead and play the next play. But that's basically what scouting and defense is. They're great players, but you make them try to do what they do less well.
A lot of great insight. I know I was excited to hear the answers. I give them a round of applause again for all the excellent insight. Got us all fired up. And Coach will be back with more of you to come and hear what he has to say. When the team trickles back in from overseas, there'll be more events with the organization as well. I just want to thank everyone for coming out tonight. And I just want to say that I know everyone's excited to have you here, and I know that, you know, we're just less than a week away from the holidays officially beginning, and usually you open a present the night before Christmas, sometimes you have to pick one, right? So consider that done for everyone here. You've already opened that first present with having Coach Mike Tebow introduced as the Washington
coach
Mystics
T.
head coach and general manager. So welcome
to
Can I get
one other PR thing? We're going to try to get you were talking about how we get more people to come too. The other one is we're going to try throughout training camp, maybe 3-4 times if we can, to take our team out and do public practices or scrimmages throughout the D.C. area so the fans can come and watch us practice during that time.